Bill, thank you for joining me.
Well, it's my pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Hey, what is Lunar Outfitters making the Apollo spacesuit all about?
Well, it's about a local company that I was fortunate enough to work with for 41 years. I started there in 1977, and they were located in Frederica, Delaware. But at the time, during the Apollo years and the 1960s, they were in Dover and Frederica, and they produced the Apollo spacesuits. So it's a local story about this company that was a real underdog in the race to provide the spacesuits to NASA to walk on the lunar surface. When Neil Armstrong and Buzz Aldrin and the others walked on the moon, they wore a spacesuit built right there in Dover, Delaware, and in Frederica. The outer cover layers were built in Frederick, and the main part of the spacesuit was built in Dover. So it was really a challenging time. The company faced a significant amount of challenges because they were a division of Playtex that made the bras and girdles. And even though the engineers and the folks that really worked on the spacesuits had nothing to do with the development of the bras or girdles, it was interesting that a lot of the ladies that did the sewing came from the Playtex side, so there was somewhat of a connection, which I found interesting. But the company was an underdog in the respect that they didn't have the rigor that NASA was looking for. They didn't have systems engineering or quality engineering. They just suffered from a lot of deficiencies that aerospace companies had. And so as a result, they were in a constant battle against bigger companies like Hamilton Standard, and there were others at the time that were very large in size. And they struggled to meet the requirements of NASA. But in the end, they persevered. And that's kind of a long story short, but it's a fascinating ride.
Yeah, it definitely sounds like it. What was your job at ILC?
Well, I started there in 1977 to make some money to go back to college, like many people do. And I ended up staying there because it was fascinating. I did some technical report writing. I did some production work when I started there. And then I worked my way up into the test laboratory. And I ran the test laboratory for many years, responsible for all the testing of the products, the fabrics, materials, but more importantly, more exciting to me, the actual spacesuits. And in 1976, the company had won the contract to build the space shuttle spacesuit. So, of course, that was post-Apollo, and so I came after the Apollo years, but I was able to be very involved with all the testing of the spacesuits, the materials, and those things, and in fact, I ended up spending quite a number of hours in the space shuttle spacesuit during testing and during the development testing of the suits, so it was a dream come true job for me, and you know, when I was 15 years old, I watched Neil Armstrong walk on the moon, so I was caught up into it like a lot of Americans. It was just enthralling to watch this these men walk on the moon and do these things to win the space race. And here I'm at the company that built the actual spacesuits. And when I started there in 1977, I actually saw them hanging on the racks in the back of the company's one of the buildings there. And it was just amazing to see these suits there and know that this company had built the Apollo spacesuits. But it was a fascinating ride over the 41 years. And I also did some work as their company historian, where I would do outreach programs because we had a lot of inquiries about the Apollo spacesuits, you know, even this many years later. And so I would talk about it, and I worked with the Apollo engineers because when I started there, they were still, you know, there developing the next generation suit. And they became friends of mine. And I really wanted to tell their story because no one had put this into writing. It was a story that needed to be told, I felt. And I did it kind of in dedication to them and for all the efforts they put into it.
Two-part question, Bill. Is Lunar Outfitters making the Apollo spacesuit your first book? And what was your goal when you set out to write this book?
Yeah, so it was my very first book. I'm not really an author. It was a story looking for an author, and I had to step up and do it because the folks that worked there, some of them would tell me they wanted to write that book. They had a plan to write the book, and nothing ever happened. And as I was wrapping up my years there, I thought this had to be told. So I sat down, and I started writing, and as I think I found a lot of authors do, I started with my first chapter, and I think a week into it, I would continually go back to the very first page and start reading it, and I would start making changes. And it took me, it probably went on for a couple months where I couldn't get through the first chapter because I just kept rewriting it. And finally, I realized, you know, I've just got to stick with my outline, write it, get all the way through it, then go back and review it and fix it then. Don't try to make it perfect the first time through because you'll drive yourself nuts. So It took me actually 3 years to do it. So it's not something, I'm sure the Stephen Kings of the world crank these out pretty fast once they have an idea, but I couldn't do that. And plus, I was fortunate in that I had a lot of the original documentation from Apollo, which I could rely on to write this book. If I had just relied on the input from these engineers and the workers at ILC, you're asking them to tell me what happened 50 years ago. And I don't know about you, but I don't remember what I had for dinner two nights ago. And I don't know how they could ever remember what they did 50 years ago, even though it was building the Apollo spacesuits and it was very memorable. So I was fortunate to rely on these documents that I had. And I also had to include a lot of illustrations and diagrams in it, because if you're trying to explain a spacesuit and what it does and how parts work, if you don't have the pictures and illustrations to go with it, that wouldn't have done it justice. And when I went through the first editorial process, my editor said to me, I have to tell you, the University Press of Florida, the publisher, they kind of frown on this many pictures and illustrations. They're going to really cut this back and have to limit it. And I told her, right up front, I said, listen, then we're not going to have a deal here, because this book has got to include all these illustrations and photos to make it clear to people what I'm trying to get across. And plus, it's a fascinating story to look at the pictures and the progression of the suit and to see it like the suit on the moon and things like that. So it was a long progression, but it worked out, and I was very pleased with it.
I want to remind everybody that we're talking to Bill Airey. He's a Lewis author. He recently released a new book. It's called Lunar Outfitters, Making the Apollo Spacesuit. Bill, is this a book that space enthusiasts far and wide should read?
Oh, I think so. The feedback I have so far is that, and I get it from a lot of cross segments of people. Over the years, I go to an event called Space Fest out in Tucson, Arizona every year, and they're the real space nerds. I mean, we're talking people who are really into it. And of course, I guess I am too, so I can't laugh at that. But I stay in touch with these people, and they really, so far, the feedback's been very positive. They really like it. And then I deal with a lot of the local people who either work now or have worked at ILC. And, of course, they're very excited and interested, and the feedback I have is very positive because it tells that personal story. If you're on the outskirts of all that and you just want to learn a little bit about space history, and a lot of people really are interested in it, I think you'll find it interesting. There's a couple different segments I find interesting in the book. One is the space element itself, the early history of it, beating the Russians in the space race and getting to the moon and the challenges we all faced. And this is just one of the little challenges. Here, this little company is trying to design the first ever true spacesuit. And the vision that these early engineers had as far back as the 1950s and the adversity they faced trying to get this suit to NASA. And so that in itself is interesting. I've had a number of people who are into the business of sewing and the role that women played, and they find it fascinating that these women, here we had we're talking about a space race to get to the moon and the technology that had to be developed to get there. So we had MIT and different universities and industry developing the computers and the chips and all the things that got us there that we didn't have at the time. But yet it was just this basic industry of sewing fabrics together to make these Apollo spacesuits. But as one of the astronauts wrote on a little note to the ladies at ILC, please sew straight and carefully. I'd hate to have a tear in my pants on the moon. And that was the case. If these ladies had sewed this material improperly, that suit could fail and take the life of an astronaut. So their lives were on in the hands of these women that did the sewing. So it's very interesting that you had all the high-tech stuff going on to get us to the moon, but yet it was these ladies sitting at their Singer industrial sewing machines that made this all happen in Dover, Delaware. So it's a local history. So I think a lot of people, there's a cross-section of people that will find this book interesting. I wrote it also because they do some work at the Smithsonian Air and Space Museum, helping them with their collection of spacesuits, and particularly the Apollo suits. And they are striving all the time to understand how to preserve these suits, and they have to know what's in them. This book has a section on the suits and talking about the materials that are in it and the preservation of it. And so it fills that void of explaining, how they're made up and how to preserve them for the folks at Smithsonian. And also it's for the engineers, people who are studying spacesuits or the future of spacesuit design. They get a lot of questions like, what's the next generation spacesuit going to look like? And people are very interested in that. If we go back to the moon or go to Mars someday, the next generation spacesuit has to fill that void. And I think historians, people who are into that, you always want to know what the history is of something. If you're looking forward, I think it's helpful to know what happened before. Even though you wouldn't use that old technology today, it's, I think, human curiosity. You want to know, well, where did it come from? What was the development of the suit? And the Apollo spacesuit was the first true purpose-built spacesuit.
What is the takeaway for people who read this book? Is it simply to teach space history, or is it broader than that?
I think it's broader, getting what I was saying earlier. I think it addresses a lot of different sections. And I think, you know, it's funny. I sat down and I started out writing this because I wanted to dedicate it to the people who built the suit. I don't think they got enough credit for what they did. If you look up spacesuits, you'll see a variety of different things in there. Hamilton Standard, who was the primary contractor on the Apollo suit when we first won it, they were made the primary because they were a big aerospace company. And they kind of stuck with getting some of that credit, and they shouldn't have, because they really had nothing to do with the true development of the Apollo spacesuit. And I wanted to set that record straight. And I wanted, again, to dedicate this and make sure these people got the recognition they deserve. So that's why I set out to do it. And then it kind of evolved from there. That's where it turned into the dedication to the ladies that did the sewing, but it also became the history document and became the technology document that showed, you know, how the spacesuits were made. There might be some areas of the book where a novice reader of this that doesn't know a lot about spacesuits might have to gloss over some of it, where I get very technical. You can't get too technical about a spacesuit, and I think that if you're interested, this really kind of addresses a lot of the questions you might have. So I don't want to say it's too technical, but I do get into the technology of the spacesuit, of the Apollo suit, and how it worked and how it was held together. And, you know, there's a little bits of information I think people find of interest. Like, here's the funny part. When they were starting to sew the suits, they were realizing that the seamstresses would take the little straight pins and leave them in the suit as they were trying to baste these stitches together. And as they were closing the suit up, they would accidentally leave these straight pins in a suit. Well, that's not good. You don't want a pin in a spacesuit because it could poke a hole in it. Not to mention, you know, jab the person that's wearing the suit, which might be the customer, the astronaut. So what they did was they went to Kent General Hospital with the suit one day, and they approached Kent General and said, Bay Health Now was Kent General at the time on State Street. And they said, look, can we put your suit on our X-ray machine and see if we can find these straight pins? Because we're just afraid that one might be left in there. And if we could do a final inspection to make sure they're cleaned up and not there, we'd appreciate it. And they were very curious about it, I'm no doubt. And as one of the employees told me, they were more than excited to help out. I mean, here we were trying to win this race to get to the moon. And if Kent General Hospital could play a role, by golly, they were going to do it. So we took our suit over there and stuck it under one of the machines. And we started to do more of that because we were finding that we could locate the pins. And so we could make sure that this thing was cleared before we shipped it down to NASA. And then finally, after a while, someone told me that sometimes the suits were getting in front of the patients there. It was not a good situation. And so NASA realized that what we were doing was worthwhile, and they finally funded us the money and gave us an X-ray machine to use. It was a special, you know, large size X-ray machine that could get everything covered, but they paid the cost of it. But, you know, those are the fun stories that are in the book.
All very interesting information. Bill, how can my listeners get a copy?
Well, I was hoping to get it locally at the bookstores, but it's not happened yet. I'm working through that. In the meantime, it's very simple. It's on Amazon.com or Barnes & Noble. And if you just look up Lunar Outfitters Making the Apollo Spacesuit, or just Lunar Outfitters on a search of Amazon, I think you'll find it right away.